Welcome back to the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and today's special guest does it all. She's a physical therapist, yoga teacher, strength and conditioning specialist, and nutrition coach. Welcome to the show, Dr. Libby.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to be here and get to chat with you about all the things today.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And your background is super impressive. You have so much variety in your background, so many certifications. So what inspired you to take this holistic approach to treating someone? And did you get these certifications before you became a PT or after?
Yeah, so it kind of all stems honestly from my own personal journey, really, in fitness and nutrition and everything. So in undergrad, I was actually a food science and nutrition major. And so that was my kind of baseline, I guess. And I always had this interest in nutrition and health kind of just in general. I thought originally I would go to med school, but then I took organic chemistry and I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that for, however many years. Joke's on me, because PT school was probably just, it was also very hard. Yes. But yeah. But anyway, so I went through that and then I ended up shadowing a couple different, I shadowed a nurse practitioner because I thought that maybe I would go PA route, dietitian, maybe thought that route. And then I ended up shadowing a physical therapist. And so I kind of saw that as the best place for me to be. And then kind of going down that road, I started on my own fitness journey kind of in general. So I picked up running and that then became kind of my sole passion. And I didn't really do a whole lot besides that. So it kind of ran me down this road, literally and figuratively, into a place that was actually not the greatest for my mental health. So I kind of became, I was more anorexic, really. I didn't eat enough. Even though I had this nutrition background, I just was kind of going down this negative path. I was having more niggles and aches and pains, and eventually came to and kind of realized that I needed to make some changes. And so then I kind of dove into the strength training component. And that's where I was working at a health shop at the time. I was surrounded by bodybuilders and these collegiate athletes who were, you know, running track and field. So they were runners, but they were also doing these super intense strength training workouts. And I was just really inspired by that and got into then the strength training component myself. I ended up pushing myself in a totally different direction, ended up competing in a bodybuilding competition. And so went down a whole nother road. But then in that same time, I was also dealing with a lot of stress, applying to physical therapy school at that point. And I feel like I still had these kind of like mental health things that I really needed to kind of work through. And then I kind of went into yoga. So I joined a yoga studio. I really just loved the community and the vibe that I got. And then also the mobility that I needed as a runner and also a strength trainer then at that point, that kind of brought in that mobility and stability component that I was missing. And all throughout this, then learning more about nutrition, working in a health shop, continually trying to like educate myself in general. And then I went to PT school, went through physical therapy school, of course, like deep dive and into the human body and everything crazy interesting to me. And then that's when I started to kind of gather more of these certifications. So while I was in physical therapy school, I got my CSCS as a certified strength and conditioning coach. And then after that, well, I went down a road of doing travel therapy, which wasn't quite for me. I wanted to be able to do my own thing. So then after that, I had a break and I went and got my yoga certification. So then that kind of tagged on. And then as I wanted to open up my own clinic, I knew a lot about nutrition, but I felt like I was missing the coaching piece of that and like how to actually like instruct people and integrate it with the running and the strength training, yoga, all of that. And so then I got my Precision One Nutrition Coaching certification. So they kind of just all ended up stacking on each other, like in a natural progression. But really, it all stemmed from my own personal experience and what I felt like I needed for my own information at different points in my life. But then I really have a passion for sharing that with other people too. So
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. I feel like as PTs and like especially PTs on our own, we find that we're usually treating like our past self. So I think that's really cool that you're able to incorporate like all these different aspects of healing someone and allowing someone to get out of pain. So are you right now, like as a PT, do you treat someone in this holistic approach? Has that changed like your treatment plan for someone?
Yes and no, I would say. It really depends on the person. I have some clients that mostly my online clients that I work with, I bring in this whole package, almost more so from a coaching standpoint. But I do also with my in-person clients, especially the like nutrition piece, I end up talking like about that a lot with people because from like a healing standpoint, when you're recovering from injury, you know, having enough protein, really trying to work on increasing that protein amount so we can heal faster, as well as then decrease inflammation, working on like looking at the diet and thinking about maybe where there are areas that are increasing inflammation and maybe how we can reduce that. And then also just from a recovery standpoint, you know, like talking about the basics of hydration and electrolytes for different things, especially for runners, you know. So I definitely do bring it in, but it's not quite as structured, I guess, in my in-person clients as it is online. I really kind of deep dive into the meal planning and the, you know, macros and different things like that. So
yeah, that's great. I feel like as runners, and like I'm just speaking to like my previous self as a runner, like it was like, oh, I'm a runner, so I only run. And I feel like, you know, we see it because we're understanding like, you know, the rehab and prehab portion where it's like, okay, but if we want to keep running, there's all these other little things that we have to do. And it's usually small things that lead to bigger things. So with your experience with treating runners, where do you feel like a lot of runners are lacking or could use more, I guess, time in that area just to improve their running?
Yeah, for sure. So I think probably the biggest thing that I still see, while it's definitely been more of a trend for runners to actually be strength training, I do still see that like pure strength training as a kind of a missing link in a lot of programming. A lot of runners love that, like getting your heart rate up and getting super, you know, getting that sweat on, which I totally love as well. But a lot of them do that in their strength training as well, ends up being like a HIIT class or something that's just really getting that heart rate up. And they're not like sitting and not necessarily sitting, but they're not like doing the hard work of that strength training, like being in those like 8 to 10 rep range of heavy weights to like really create more change from the strength component. And so I think that that is kind of something that I've had a lot of conversations with people. And it's like, okay, if you could actually sit there and do 20 reps of that exercise, then that's not heavy enough. We are not working anywhere close to the range that we need to be. And I think that that's been something that's been kind of a light bulb for a lot of people, is that they're like, oh yeah, I'm doing strength training. You know, I do this and this and this, and I go to HIIT class and da da da. But when then I talk about, okay, well, what actually does that feel like? And like, is your heart rate just like skyrocketed? Do you ever get those rest intervals like you do need in a strength training session? And generally the answer I find is no. So that's something that I kind of see as a missing piece a lot of times. And then mobility. I think runners are bad at doing mobility.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of, I agree with you, like strength training is becoming more prominent. I know I preach it like every day, it seems like, because it's so important. But it's one of those things where it's like not all strength training is created equal. Like you said, like HIIT classes, as runners, we think we have to keep working endurance because we're an endurance athlete. But the truth is, we're working that endurance when we're running. And then outside of running, we need to be working something else, like building strength. I know there's a lot of like popular classes, like Pilates is super popular right now, and like just different like boutique classes that are really popular. And while those are great, you know, it's like the new trendy, shiny thing, it really comes back to the basics of like let's just do running specific strength exercises, get you stronger. That's how you're going to prevent injuries. It doesn't have to be this big, scary thing where you're like in the gym, loading up your back with a squat rack. You know, I feel like a lot of runners think that. I know I used to think that. It's like, I don't want to do that. That's what I did when I played college softball. Like, I was exhausted all the time from always working out. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. So I think it is important to note, like, yes, you should be challenging yourself with strength training, but it doesn't have to be a big, scary event that you're doing. You just have to start with something. And again, it's like the high reps and the low weight. It's fine to do if you enjoy it, but it's not pure strength training. You're not, you know, trying to build muscle in that way. You're building muscle in an endurance way. So there's definitely a difference. Do you see that a lot?
I do. And it's funny because like I see that with a lot of people. And I always try to meet people where they're at though, because I think a lot of people, if they're not doing anything and the only thing that's going to get them to lift any sort of weight or move in some other direction besides just like running patterns, then perfect. That's where we need to start. And this is where like being polarizing can be the most shiny thing, but it really is this huge gray area. And if that's your capacity right now, then I'm totally will like meet people where they're at. But I do find that if we can introduce people to strength training in a way that feels approachable to them, like maybe it's not loading up the barbell really heavy on your back. Okay, well, we can find squat patterns that aren't a heavy back squat, you know, and just working these patterns to become more and more comfortable, and then slowly showing people that, yeah, you can lift heavy. Like, actually, if we push into this, you know, heavier weight range, like you can pick up heavier weights than you think you can. You know, we can move in this more of this like pure strength, and it can be fun. Because I remember when I first doing it, I did like 15 or 20 reps of every single thing. Again, I was that runner who was kind of trying out strength training. And it took me a long time to like really be comfortable, like under a barbell. I was already like 4 or 5 years into my strength training journey before I even went under a barbell. Like, I was way too scared, way too nervous, didn't have the right training, I felt like. And so, you know, it's gradual. It's a gradual process. And I think that being able to meet people where they're at with that, but then also show them that there is a lot more and that we can kind of work in these true strength and hypertrophy ranges, and then, you know, make it fun in a different way, you know, rather than the running.
Yeah, for sure. I know I've definitely been there. I was definitely like that. So I can completely, you know, relate to someone who's going through that. And like, even if you go into a gym, it can be very intimidating. I know I used to like literally do what I saw someone else do. And like, it felt like my workout was never ending because I was just trying to fit in every single like exercise I could ever think of into one workout. And like, it does not have to be hours of working out. It's definitely like start where someone is at and then just slowly progress them. I love that. So do you feel like with this holistic approach that we keep talking about, where you're incorporating your mindset, your nutrition, your breathing, and like your mental aspect, and then strength training and the physical aspect of running, do you think it's important to look into and like treat in a holistic approach when someone's not injured to prevent injuries? Or do you feel like it's only important to do that when someone is injured?
I definitely approach most everything from a prehab standpoint, honestly. I think this maybe is going a little bit wide-viewed, but I think one of the biggest problems with our medical system in general right now is that everything is on the back end. We're just trying to band-aid and cover up things. And so while I still want to provide people with band-aids and help them when they are injured, I think working from that prehab perspective and learning these key things is going to help prevent all of those injuries in the long run. If we're fueling ourselves properly, our bodies are going to recover better. We're not going to have as many injuries. If we're doing the right strength training components and working muscle groups in the right ways to go along with the running, and making sure that our running load and our training there is all kind of locked in and progressing in the right way for, you know, where that person is from their own personal journey. And then the mindset, all of those kind of wrap in the mindset and habits that go into that. Like, your mindset has to be good with nutrition. Like a lot of runners, the mindset component was a huge one for me. Like I thought I just had to keep running and like be as small as possible to get faster if I wanted to and lose weight because that's, you know, what runners looked like. And, you know, that's what I saw. And so I had to change my mindset. There was a lot of mindset work in doing that and being mindful of like, actually, no, you really need to fuel yourself here. And like, then the mindset about strength training as well is like, how is this actually serving you? Like going into doing those, you know, heavier weights, lower reps, changing the mindset that I had about strength training. So all of that then becoming the little bitty habits and implementing those little bitty habits throughout the day is like, okay, how do I really make sure that I stay on top of my hydration today? Is okay, well, I've got my like big water bottle and like all of the components start to come together and it really requires you to have all of these things. And I think that while if somebody is injured, we need to also give them all of these things. And this, I call it like my toolbox of health. Like they need a toolbox of health, but I also want to give that toolbox to somebody before they're, you know, say the roof collapses in and water starts rushing in. Like they should be able to, you know, patch it up first and make sure it's really strong roof so that nothing like pours in and we're not getting bombarded with injuries or other things like that too. So yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. And I feel like it's something where if you're listening to this and you're like, all of this sounds like kind of like a lot, like it sounds intimidating to do like all these things. That's where, you know, I love the book Atomic Habits. It really just encourages like habit stacking where you just try something for a week or a couple weeks and then you just slowly add in these things. Like when Dr. Libby and I have added in these, you know, certain things to better our running, it has not been all at once. Like I wish it honestly was because I wouldn't have had to struggle for so long, but it has definitely not been all at once. She's laughing because we know that it's like, it's been years that we've learned all these different things that have bettered ourselves, bettered our running and improved our running. And it's like, okay, you just have to take it, like take it one day at a time and slowly start to add in different things. Like maybe you start just by keeping track of how many times you fill up your water bottle throughout the day. Like it can be as simple as that. And then just making sure that you're drinking enough fluids. I know like for me, I drink like a fish. I don't know why. I drink so much water.
I do too, though, 100%.
I'm like drinking like three of these Stanleys, which are 40 ounces a day. If I don't, I have a headache. I know that though. Yeah. That has been, that's based on our experience. So I think it is really important to note, like you do not have to do all these things at once, but it is really important when you look at the whole picture and all these small things will add up to big things. I think that's super, super important. But I know that you are a certified yoga instructor. I will say I'm interested in yoga, but it's kind of intimidating. Speaking of things being intimidating. So do you feel like all runners should do yoga? And like, can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So I never think that there's anything that people like have to should do. I think there's basic things that people shouldn't have to do, like a mobility or stability routine, but it doesn't have to be yoga. I just personally really enjoy it because I'm really bad at doing it by myself. So that is the one thing. I'm very individual worker outer. I like to run by myself generally, but to do mobility work, I really enjoy being in that class setting. So yoga for me provides that and I really enjoy it. I think it can be a really useful tool and I know that it can be really intimidating. I would definitely suggest going to, if you are a beginner in yoga or haven't really done it before, I would definitely suggest going to a class, maybe finding a class that's specifically for beginners where they're going to, or like level one, where they're going to really kind of guide you through the proper cueing and body positioning. Because just like with anything else, if you jump into something too fast, too soon, without the proper knowledge of like what you're actually doing, then it could actually lead to more injury or we could compensate in different ways. So I always think that it's important for people to, you know, listen to their body and not like think that just because lady over here is doing a handstand in the splits that we need to like also do that. Like, because I'm not doing that, I promise. So, you know, I think that it's important to one, be aware of of your own limitations and where you are when you come into a yoga class, and not feel like you have to have a competitiveness with the people around you. Because if you are new, then you know, you're starting something new and there's something to build off there. But also going to those beginner classes where they're going to really lead you through how you should feel in a pose, and where it's meant to be either a mobility or a stability exercise, like where we're actually drawing our attention to and like focusing in the body, can be really useful. And when I first started yoga, the yoga studio I went to had a beginner's class. And I did that beginner's class probably for like 3 or 4 months before I even went to the like intermediate class at all. And then I guess they had like the actual hot yoga. So that would be my suggestion. And I think that it can be, if you're curious about yoga, I would definitely suggest it. I don't think that if you've tried yoga and somebody, you know, listening absolutely hates it, then I'm not like, you have to go do yoga because it's the best for you ever. But I personally really love it and I love to share it with people. So I do think that if you're curious about it, it's a great way to get in that mobility and stability. But again, all within the parameters of kind of where you are at in that journey, just in general.
Yeah. I've actually done yoga before, and I am the person who, like, my brain is always going. I have a very hard time sitting still. So I think that's probably why I enjoy running. But on the flip side, it's like, okay, to me, yoga is like the complete opposite of running. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it is more challenging for me to like sit, be in my thoughts, sit still without fidgeting. And it's one of those things where it's like, this is probably really good for my mindset. I just need to stick with it. Just because it's the opposite of running, in my opinion, doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Or just because it's a little bit slower moving than like strength training or running doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Like, for example, when I first started zone 2 running, I cannot tell you how many times that I said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Like, I am not seeing any progress. This is just pissing me off. Like, even though all over research, it was like, you know, really encouraging it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, just really, you know, continuing to show up day after day. And like, eventually I saw that progress. And it's like, okay, now that I've gone through that, I'm like, okay, I probably should try some yoga, probably should try like slowing down for once in my life. It's hard though.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But I think that, you know, that kind of sitting in those tough moments. Okay. So I went to a yoga class this morning. Like, I have a Friday morning class that I always go to. And I swear we were in a plank. She said it was 10 breaths, but I think it was like 5 minutes. Like, we were like holding this plank forever. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to die. And she's like, you're not dying. And I'm like, but I'm going to die. And it's kind of too, I mean, it is totally different from running because you're not moving in that way, in that movement pattern. But I'm almost thinking like the last like 4 miles of a marathon. And you're like, you just have to keep going. Like, you just keep going. Like, you don't know why, but your mind, like, you just in your mind, like, that's the mindset. And you just have to, like, I can hold it. Like, I can count to five one more time. I can count to five one more time. And it kind of ends up, I feel like, relating to that kind of extreme in the running too. Sometimes when you get, you know, into those really, those tough parts in that race, and you're just, your brain is like, wants to stop so bad, but that mindset piece then kind of comes in, and that mental strength that you have to kind of sit with it and be okay and be like, yeah, this does suck, but I'm just going to keep doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's so important. I really like that. That's so important, because just because you're working on your mindset outside of running doesn't mean it's not going to carry over. Like, it's 100% going to carry over. That's the same with strength training. It's the same with rest days.
Yeah.
Like, rest days can be very challenging, or like cross training, fueling, like even taking in your fuel, being disciplined with that. It can be really, really hard, but it does play into your running. Mm-hmm. I just remember, if I learned one thing from marathon training, it was like, the only way to get there is just to keep going. Like, I can't scooter there. Like, I have to literally keep going. And I feel like that's so true. Like, that's something that you have to take with you outside of running and, like, you know, in your day-to-day life too. But yeah, that's so true. Like, it can definitely improve your mindset. So thank you for covering that. That's awesome.
Yeah, of course.
So I feel like you know, we've talked about a couple different approaches that you can take. I think runners are starting to understand, like, if I want to run, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I have to be doing other things besides just running. So, you know, you can say your sample week, but I'm just looking for like a sample week, not necessarily like the nutrition side, because that's going to depend on like your runs. But what does your week look like as you take this holistic approach? And then has it helped you prevent injuries or burnout or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll kind of speak to what I'm doing. And then one of my, now again, this is kind of different for everybody, but it also just so happens that this particular online client I have is also doing a similar amount of the various different components. So for me right now, I'm in like a 3 to 4 days of running. My life has kind of gotten, you know, busy with opening up business and trying to do all the things. So I totally get that like busy aspect where people are like, how do you fit all of this in? So I used to run 5 days a week and now I run 3 or 4. I try to do like a long run on the weekend and then make one of those runs a longer one. And then during the week, get a couple shorter miles in. Probably should be doing some more intervals, but haven't been incorporating those as much as I would like to or should. But right now that's kind of looking like a 20 mile a week for me, with that longer run being like 8 to 10 miles on the weekends, but just trying to like keep up something longer on the weekends. This is for myself personally, but also for my client, her long run is on the weekends and she runs 2 other days during the middle of the week. And then with that, I try to get in 4 days of lifting. So right now I have 2 leg days and 2 upper body days, push and pull focused essentially is kind of how I go about those. I know that that's probably a little bit more lifting than a lot of, you know, runners do, but I really love doing the lifting component. That is something that I've definitely found my own passion for over the years. So that's why I have it split up into those leg days and then upper body push pull days. But for clients who have, you know, are doing 3 days or less, research has shown that, you know, doing more full body on those days to get more additional reps in throughout the week can be better, more beneficial for hypertrophy and everything like that. So generally, if somebody's doing 3 days or less, I recommend doing more of a full body split. And then I try to get in 2 to 3 days of yoga as well. So that does mean that I'm doing a couple 2-a-days generally throughout the week, but I do try and balance it. And then I always have at least 1 full day of rest. So I usually, for me right now, it's actually transitioned to my Mondays because that's my, like, my weekdays are the craziest. So I always just take 1 full day where I'm not doing any of it at all. And then of course, in between that, there's meal prepping. I try to get my like morning meditation and kind of journaling in to get a little bit more of that mindset work in. But yeah, that's kind of my personal routine as of right now. Every person is going to be really different. And that's where I want to be able to, you know, find what that looks like for each person that I work with, because each person's capacity is going to be different. And each person has a bucket and their bucket's going to be like more or less full, just depending on where they are in life, what they're doing, what they're training for. And so we just need to find the right combination of things to like fit in that bucket so that we're not overflowing, but we also have the right amount to be, you know, progressing forward.
Yeah, definitely. And just to make sure that you're actually still enjoying like running and movement, because at the end of the day, like, it's not about doing more. It's about finding that balance that works for you. Yeah. So I really like that. Now, do you recommend doing yoga before run, after run? Like, is it on the days that you're usually running?
Generally, so because I go to more classes, for me, it really kind of depends on the class that I'm taking. So it can be before or after, honestly. I like an evening class, usually it's the last thing that I'm doing. Whereas if it's a morning class, then it's beforehand. Maybe there's like some specific nuance when we get down to like the very nitty gritty of doing, you know, a lot of mobility or something before or after your runs, and or if you're training for something specific, we want to kind of prioritize that just in general. But I haven't noticed, I guess, for myself there to be a huge difference with the yoga and running. As long as I have a little bit of a time in between to refuel and, you know, give myself enough hydration recovery time between the two workouts. I haven't found too much of a difference, but it will also, it depends, right? Yeah. Physical therapist's favorite words. it's like, how, like, did you do sprints and then you did a power class, or did you do an easy run and a yin class, or did you do some other combination of them? So, you know, is it long hold stretching, or is it like lots of chaturangas and push-ups and different things? Or yeah, like how did we tax our system? So just kind of finding that balance between all of it, because even if a run is not, you know, one type of running is not the same as another kind of run workout, same with a yoga class, like it could be a different style, essentially.
Yep. I remember doing yin yoga thinking, I mean, I've been in this pose for 10 minutes now. Like, I'm about to walk out. Like, what is this class? I remember. I definitely remember. But it was always like a good feeling after. It's something that I definitely should get back into. So thank you for bringing that up. I feel like a lot of people do not bring that up. So thank you for that. Is there anything that we haven't talked about or anything that you would like to add in terms of, you know, approaching running in this holistic way, whether you're training or not in training?
I don't know if anything like too like too specific exactly, but I do just like to like reiterate that I think you're so right. People get really overwhelmed with the fact that they need to be like doing all the things, and that can get really overwhelming and really stressful. And while I want to promote all of these things and work them into somebody's routine, it does take time. And I think that one of the biggest things and lessons that you can, you know, learn is to be able to give yourself grace and really like be patient with yourself. And it takes time. It takes time not only to like increase your running capacity, but your strength training capacity and your mobility and your just mental bandwidth of being able to learn new things. So, you know, we only have so much brain power in a day to be able to do these things. And I think that's where having a coach or having something that somebody you can bounce ideas off of or learn from can be really beneficial, because it does take some of that like mental bandwidth of like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Like, do I have to do all of these things? It kind of takes a little bit of that out of the equation, or at least puts it on somebody else where you can get that, you know, information more quickly and without as much stress. And so I think, you know, again, bringing back kind of that atomic habits, 1% better rule, if we can just do one thing 1% better every day, then that just like exponentially, you know, increases if we think of the course of a year. And so really thinking about, I really like to take all of the things that I think about in terms of running, strength training, nutrition, mindset, and think about that longevity piece. Because really when it boils down to, whenever I ask people like what their deepest why is for what they want to accomplish, essentially, it all comes down to, well, I want to be able to take care of my kids and my grandkids, and I want to be able to hike mountains when I'm 60, 70, 80 years old. Like, and I want to be able to do these things. I want to still run when I'm old, quote unquote. Like, you know, that's ages, you know, just a number. Like, the people really want to be able to continue to be active and have not just a lifespan, but a health span in those years, and really be able to live well within their lifespan. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just to think about things, I think if people can think about things for the long term, it makes it a little less overwhelming. Like, I have to implement all of these things right now. It's like, no, we just need to build one piece of the puzzle at a time, just like slight little changes. And that over time is what's really going to lead to that longevity piece of being active, being a runner, being a lifter, being a yogi for forever, and, you know, really doing the things that you love and enjoy for a really long time.
Yeah, I really like that. And like, I'm just reflecting on my own personal journey with running, and like even just the nutrition piece, like talk about 1% at a time. I used to take just the salt stick tablets during a half marathon. And I only took 2 of them at mile 10. And now it's like, okay, probably not the best decision, but it's better than nothing.
Yep.
It's like, okay, fast forward a couple years, like I'm understanding how to fuel correctly. I'm understanding that you know, fueling doesn't lead to weight gain. And like, I don't know, I had a whole different like situation with that, like very frustrated with my first half marathon because I gained weight. And like, even though I thought I was doing myself a favor by not fueling during my run. So it is trial and error too, before you get to that sweet spot of what works best for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing I've learned. I'm sure that's something that you've learned. Like, mm-hmm. no one's going to sit there unless you pay for someone and they're really good at it. But it's rare that the first time that you encounter something, you hit it out of the park and everything is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it does take a lot of trial and error just to find out what works best for you, what works best for your routine and your body and your goals. So mm-hmm. I really, really like that. I think that's super important for runners to understand.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you know, something like the nutrition piece that you were just saying, like, you know, gaining weight in doing a training cycle like that. And that can be a really scary thing for a runner because a lot of people actually get into running to lose weight. But there's also so many other components that from a physiological standpoint, a lot of people don't consider of like why you might be gaining weight. And it could be that it's not like you're gaining fat necessarily. You know, there's additional water weight, like you have more carbs in your system, so you're holding on to more water. You have more inflammation, so you're also holding on to more water with that. There are all of these other like components that we can dive into. I mean, I could go on tangents all day long, but you know, there's a lot of information to be gained as well. And that gaining that knowledge also takes time. And so it's like you said, you've, you know, come a long way in the past several years, which is amazing. And I think it's just one of those things to just always being open to learning something new and making those small changes throughout your course of your life. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You have to be open to it. And I think it's something where it's like, you know, you're not going to improve unless you try something different. And there's always room for improvement. Always, always, always. So thank you so much for saying that. This has been amazing, Dr. Libby. Where can my listeners find you?
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. Honestly, this has been such a fun conversation and I've loved getting to know you. And like I kind of mentioned before we hopped on that I've followed you for a while now anyway on Instagram. And so it's so fun to get to talk to you in person. So I am at Movement Mantra PT on Instagram. And that is probably the best way to find me. I have a lot of strength training content, PT content, talk about running and all the things, try and put my like kind of hybrid theories out there on Instagram. So if anybody ever has any questions, you know, shoot me a message. I'd be happy to chat with you and reach out. And then if email is better for people, then they can also email me at movementmantrapt.gmail.com. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I will link everything below in the show notes, but thank you again. And we really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Lisa. I really appreciate it.